studying in my own personal life and trying to understand some things better. And in my walk with the Lord, and I can't even begin to express what God has taught me in the last few years. I've been trying to share some of the things with you as I can. But I've noticed there are two words. I'm going to talk about one this morning and one tonight. So the message tonight is the other side of this morning's message. There's two words that go together, but in reality they're opposites. It's kind of like when you talk about north and south. North is that way, right? And south is that way. And I know some people are directionally challenged. But they go to make a whole. You've got to have both, like in math, a plus and minus. They're two opposites, but they're similar. Or left or right, point to your left, if you will. Point to your left. No, you're pointing the wrong way. That's the left. No, it's your left or my right. But they're opposites, but they're similarities, like husband and wife. They're opposites. Amen? But they go together. They complement each other. Like something more spiritual, peanut butter and jelly, right? They go together. Good. And they're opposites, but they complement each other. You cannot have the whole without both of them. They're so closely related that they're often mistaken as being the same thing. Some words in the Scripture that are used synonymously sometimes in the Scripture, but they are opposites, but they do complement each other. For example, praise and worship. They're two opposite things, but they do complement each other. We do a disservice to God when we put them and think that they're the same thing. And the two words I'm going to talk to you today are the same situation. They're opposites, but they complement. They need each other. Now, worship is bowing down before God, humbling ourselves before Him. Praise is usually done standing up with our arms. I know we're Baptists and we kind of feel uncomfortable doing that, but that's a part of praise and shouting unto the Lord. And much like salvation and baptism, we know that baptism doesn't save you, but in the Bible they're so closely related that some folks have confused that it's the same event. They that were received the word were immediately baptized. They were so closely knit together. But we need to realize that there is a distinction between them. I brought a couple of things with me in my pocket. Uh-oh, I think I lost it or spent it somewhere already. I thought I had a regular quarter in my pocket, but somebody stole it, right? That's what kids say whenever you lose something. Somebody stole it. I didn't have enough to buy a pop, so I know I didn't do that with it. So, I do have a wooden nickel. This is a very valuable wooden nickel. In fact, there's a word on each side of this nickel. If you come tonight, I'll give you one, all right? I've got a whole box full of these. And we're going to look at one side today. You can't read it from there, can you? Good, because one side is different than the other. Now, a lot of folks say, well, that's a wooden nickel. It's all the same. No, there's two opposites that make the whole. And I think it's very important, and God's kind of showed me the value of distinguishing between the two, and I'm amazed how many good Bible teachers and how many good Bible writers and preachers put the two together when they're really not together, though they do go hand in hand. Now, to understand these two words, I must understand the difference. This morning, I'm going to show you one side of the coin. We're going to talk about one side, and tonight, I'll show you the other side, and you can take one home with yourself, or take as many as you want if you use them to give out to people. It'll be a great witnessing tool to lost people and saved people to help them to understand some things about the Christian life. Now, I wasn't sure which side to do first. The side that we're going to look at tonight is probably the more popular, the most often used word, but we're going to choose the word that's used less than the other, but they do go with each other. And so tonight we'll come back, and I'm not going to tell you what the one is for tonight. See if you can guess by the time you come to church tonight. But I want you to turn in your Bible to Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. And the word that we're going to look at today is the word mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Amen? Thank God for His mercy. Last Sunday night, actually I was going to preach on this last Sunday, but God kind of led me in another direction later in the week, last week. And part of it was I was just studying for an introduction to this message, the life of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. I brought a whole message on that Sunday night, and then I got a little magazine, I guess you'd call it, in the mail by a preacher friend that he was promoting a book that he just wrote on Lamentations or on Jeremiah. And I wish I would have got that the week before. But that would have been helpful for me. But God had a purpose in that. But the word mercy, I want you to, you found Lamentations chapter number 3. If you're able to stand with me, stand as we read the Word of God this morning. Lamentations chapter number 3. I hope I gave you enough time to find it. Written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. I've got to go fast to get them all in there. So Lamentations chapter number 3. And look, if you will, in verse number 21. We read a portion of this chapter last Sunday night. Verse number 21 says, "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." I want to just keep going, but we've got to stop somewhere. So we'll stop there. Now the memory verse, we're going to stop in verse number 23. And I want you to read that verse with me in your Bible or up on the screen there, if you can see that. Lamentations 3, 20 through 20, or I'm sorry, Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. How many have that verse memorized already? For those verses. I want to encourage you, in fact, I want to recommend that you memorize those verses by tonight. I was going to do this, unless you have the verses memorized, you can't have one of these coins. But I have more of these coins than I know what to do with. So that is a verse that you ought to memorize. And I would highly encourage and recommend that you memorize that verse. And I think that is the best verse I can find in the Bible to illustrate what I'm going to talk about today, the mercy of God. Thank God for His mercy. Father, I pray that You would bless our time together this morning. Lord, that You would speak to us from Your Word. Lord, we're eternally indebted and grateful for Your mercy towards us, that You've not given us what we deserve. Oh, Lord, we thank You for that. In a world that's upside down today and people are crying out for what they deserve, thank You that You don't give us what we deserve. None of us would be here right now. God, I pray that You would bless now as we look at this wonderful word in the Bible today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You have a seat if you will. And we foolishly sometimes demand what we think we deserve. In reality, that's just evidence of our pride and our ungrateful heart. Now when I say that, folks, well, that's not me. I deserve things, but I'm not proud. Well, I deserve things, but I don't have an ungrateful heart. Oh, yes, we do. If we think we deserve anything, we've got more pride and more ungratefulness than we could ever begin to understand. In this world that we're taught, everywhere we look, to worship yourself, God takes a back seat. No, God's my co-pilot. No, He wants to be your pilot. He wants you in the back seat. He wants to take control. And that's the life that's worth living. And not only we're putting God in the back seat, the next step is to put others in the trailer behind us somewhere. Who cares about others? All we care about is ourselves. And that's the world that we live in today. But that mentality of the wicked world we live in today affects us more than we want to admit, to be quite honest with you. Thank God for His mercy. Now, we mentioned last week and last Sunday night, I kind of got sidetracked, and I found so much in reading about Jeremiah and just some background of his life. And let me just mention briefly today, first of all, the mercy that Jeremiah knew. Jeremiah lived in a hopeless day. In fact, this book that I mentioned, the title of it, Before It's Too Late. We live in a day much like Jeremiah's day. The judgment of God has already fallen on America today. And that's why Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He began his ministry in a time of great spiritual enlightenment, a great spiritual revival. But even then, he preached of God's coming judgment. Of course, that didn't go over very well with God's people. But then when the hand of God began to judge the people of God, Jeremiah continued that same message that God gave him, and they still rejected his message even more the farther they got from God. But we're living in perilous times, as the Bible talks about, and we are coming to the very end of what we know as a great country, or the end of civilization, the end of this world, the end of time itself. And by the way, that ought not to be discouraging. That ought to be encouraging. And even the revival that Jeremiah saw early in his ministry was after the judgment of God had already been pronounced upon a nation. They still had a revival. And God's able to do unimaginable things. But the most important thing is for us to walk with Him. Jeremiah's life, of course, he wrote the book of Lamentations that we talked about last week. And if you know Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he saw the city of Jerusalem destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And he was sitting there weeping, lamenting over the ruins of Jerusalem. And that's where he wrote the book of Lamentations. All hope seemed to be lost, but Jeremiah still had a hope. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. That God is still merciful. Thank God for His mercifulness, for His mercy, I guess, is the word I want. Jeremiah recognized God's goodness in the worst of circumstances. He had no family of his own. He'd lost all his possessions. He'd lost his country. He'd lost everything. He saw God's people destroyed and taken into captivity, and yet he still knew there's a God that cares in heaven. Amen. Thank God for His mercy. The great song, Does Jesus Care? When I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, when my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it aught to Him? Does He see? Oh, yes. He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Thank God that Jesus still cares. And every morning, Jeremiah got up and said, the sun came up again this morning. I have nothing in this world. I've lost everything. But I still have a great God. God is still faithful. It's of the Lord's mercies that I was not consumed. Hey, I still have my life. I still have breath. I still have a God in heaven. The sun's coming up. Everything is okay because of the Lord's mercy. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning, and great is God's faithfulness. This is the mercy that Jeremiah knew. Secondly, I want to look at for a few moments the mercy that you and I can know, the mercy that we can know. You know, we have something, we have a lot of things that Jeremiah never had. We have a complete Bible. Jeremiah didn't have that. We have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit when we're children of God. Jeremiah didn't have that. Now, we take that for granted. Most of Christians don't really know what that all entails and don't understand what that means. They never take advantage, never realize what they have in God. But Jeremiah didn't have those things. The reality is, God is better to me than anything that I could ever expect or deserve. God's better than you and I deserve. Well, that's something we ought to realize. And every day we ought to thank God for another day. Oh, but you don't know how my back aches, how my knee hurts, how I'm sick, and how I'm going through this difficult time, how poor I am, and all these things. We can come up with a list, but God's still good. Amen? God is still merciful. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. I was reading something this week that I still am having a hard time digesting this. I guess that could be a pun. But what I read was, every night, 1/3 of the world's population goes to bed hungry. 1/3 of the people in this world goes to bed hungry. Now, I'm not talking about I didn't get my bedtime snack. I'm not talking about I had a Happy Meal and they forgot the fries. That kind of hungry. I'm talking about not sure if you got if you're going to wake up in the morning. 1/3, we don't know what it is to be hungry. We think we know what it is to be hungry sometimes. We have no idea what that means. And then this other statistic, in fact, I thought the decimal point must be in the wrong place. But I double-checked it 3 or 4 times during the week and double-checked it again this morning. 12,000 people somewhere in the world every day die of starvation. I thought maybe 12, maybe 120, maybe 1,200, 12,000. That to me is startling. You know anybody that's died of starvation? That's the world that we live in today. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God that He's given us more than enough in this life. Many people in the world are trying to find enough food to eat, and we're trying to go on diets to get rid of eating too much food in America. Thank God for a house to live in. Aren't you glad you had a house to sleep in last night? God for good friends, for food. Amen. I have food to eat. I have clothes to wear. I have an overabundance of clothes. You know, I've been to places where folks only had one set of clothes, and that's what they were wearing. That's all they owned. I can't imagine living that way. But we've got more. And what I'm getting at is, have we thanked God for those things? Do we just take them for granted? How grateful are we? Do we realize what we have in Jesus Christ? Thank God that God's given us a work to do. You know, a lot of people in our world look at work as a curse. It's a blessing. Thank God we're able to work. I'm thankful for the family that God's given to me. I don't deserve the wife that God's given to me. I don't deserve the children. Sometimes my wife and I are just amazed that God's been so good to our family. Now the grandchildren, and to see our children, training them in the ways of the Lord and teaching and instructing and admonishing them to follow the Lord, it's better than I would have ever dreamt. Thank God for His mercy. That He didn't give me what I deserve. I sometimes joke about the fact that when my wife and I first started dating, can I use that word? That's a forbidden word in some folks' mind, but somebody that I knew growing up, in fact, I'm a bus driver. Most of you know that. And I sometimes think that's God's judgment on me because I was a bus rider the whole time I was in school. Now God said, you see how bad you were? One of my former bus drivers from school is a friend of my wife's family. And she got word that my wife was dating, of course, we weren't married yet. She saw the better side of me later, I hope. So he mentioned that Carol's seen this guy, and he said, well, what's his name? Somebody I know. And her first response was, that brat? Yeah, there is hope for some of those brats, but thank God for His mercy. He's given me so much more than I deserve. Thank God for good health. You thank God for your health today. You know, sometimes the older I get, the more creaks and groans and aches and pains there are, and it takes me a little while to get this locomotive going. But in the morning, thank God for good health. And thank God for the many blessings that He's given to us. That's His mercy. We don't deserve. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. That we weren't, you know, God could have, and He would have been fully justified. Every time we sin, today, zap, you're done. The wages of sin is what? The wages of one sin, every sin, God would be fully justified in casting us into hell, but it's only of His mercies that He doesn't do that. Thank God for His mercy. His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. Thank God for the air to breathe. You ever thank God for the air that you breathe? I tell you what, if you go without it for 10 seconds, you'll be grateful when you get it back again. You ever had the wind knocked out of you? Oh, I remember as a kid getting the wind knocked out of me. I thought I'd died. And some of these guys, the Hickses, got the asthma and allergies. Some of these guys, man, I can't imagine what that'd be like. Just having the wind knocked out of me, I'm going to live. And they just take it in a stride because they're so used to not being able to breathe. I'm, wow. That feeling of suffocation. But I tell you, every breath ought to be a real life. Thank God. In fact, that's a good thing to do with every breath. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that'd get monotonous, wouldn't it? But we ought to have that attitude, that spirit. Thank God for the water. And it needs them right now. Jacob, what'd you do to this? Thank God for good water. Thank God for the seasons of life. The seasons of the year. I love living in this part of the country. I'd miss the different seasons of the year. You know, the four seasons. There's snowshoeing season, there's hiking season, there's bicycling season, and there's hunting season. Those are the four seasons of the year, right? I thank God that we can enjoy all those seasons. And the seasons of life. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I miss my baby when they were babies. You know, I enjoyed them when they're little, and now I'm enjoying them when they're adults. And you just enjoy every season of life and realize that everywhere God is with you. Don't be looking back your whole life and don't be looking forward and miss the blessings of today. The mercy that we've known today. Great is God's faithfulness. You know the song, don't you? Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth,
Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new. God is always just. God is always faithful. You know, oftentimes I hear people say, well, God, that's just not fair. That's not just. Who are we to say what's fair and what's not fair? Who are we to complain what God gives us? His mercies we can know. If I got what I deserve, life would be a whole lot different. I don't deserve the air that I breathe. I don't deserve the water that I drink. I don't deserve the feet that I can walk on. I don't deserve life. I don't deserve for somebody to keep my heart beating. Thank God for His mercy. His compassions fail not. His mercies are new. Even in the darkest days, oh, preacher, you just don't know what it's like. No, I may not, but God sure does. And we can still say, it is well with my soul. It is well because of the mercies of God. And thank God for His mercy that He did not give me what I deserve. That's His mercy. Oh, if we could get a hold of the mercy of God, the goodness of our God. He's been so good to us. And so much we take for granted. The fact that I have life, that I have a home prepared for me in heaven by Jesus Himself. The one who created the heaven and the earth loved me enough to give Himself for me. And He cried out on the cross, God, be merciful unto them. And I look at that picture of Jesus on the cross, and you know, I used to think, well, those cruel Romans, what they did to Jesus and whipping Him and hanging Him on the tree, those terrible Jews for what they did, crying out, crucify Him, and we have no king but Caesar, and all the unthinkable things that they did to my Lord and Savior. But then, one day it dawned on me, when He looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, He was looking at me. I was in that crowd. I deserved to die. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy this world and set Him free, but He died alone for you and for me. Thank God for His mercy that He didn't give me what I deserve. He could have just wiped us out, but He was merciful unto us. The mercy that we have known. Thank God for His mercy. And when we know His mercy, we can go to the last thing I want to look at this morning, and we're going to turn to the New Testament here in a little bit. When we know His mercy, we can begin to show mercy. And that is the mercy that we can show. The mercy that we can show. And we can only show mercy. I've learned this in my life, and I understand this. In fact, Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter number 5, and there's verse number 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Not only they, as we are given mercy, we can show mercy. And the reason we don't always show the mercy that we should is because we don't realize what God has given to us. In fact, Jesus spent some time in a parable that He gave in the Gospel of Matthew. If you'll turn there in Matthew chapter number 18. And I think, boy, this is so important. Matthew chapter number 18.
in your Bible, because I see so many Christians that have destroyed their lives because they don't focus on the mercy of God. Thank God for His mercy. Matthew chapter number 18. And I want you to follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 21. When Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now we're used to saying, well, of course, Jesus said in 70 times seven. There's a couple of things wrong with that question that Peter asks. First of all, Peter's keeping score. That's a big mistake right there. Thank God that he doesn't keep score. Now, I've been around folks that keep score. "Well, you did this 25 years ago." I thought that was long gone. I thought we have worked our way through that. God would say, "Hey, remember what you did back then?" Boy, think of how long God's list could be. I'm thankful that as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Thank God for His mercy. He has a little black book, but it's a great black book. He doesn't count our sins in that book. He just shows us what our sins were and then says, "This is what I've done to forgive your sins." And this is how you can go on with life. But some folks would never forgive and they'll never forget and never hang on to those things. But the same folks that have a problem with that, as Peter did, also have a problem with the way Peter asked this question. He said, "How often shall my brother sin against me?" Now, I've talked about this before. You know what's wrong with that question. According to the Bible, no man can sin against me. We only sin against God. We can trespass against other people, but we can't sin against other people. We can only sin against God. All sin is committed against God. And Peter's saying, "Hey, my brother sinned against me." And folks come to me and say, "Well, so-and-so sinned against me." Oh, well, if you've heard my preaching, you know better than to use that word now. But we sometimes think that way. And the reason he's thinking that way is because the world revolves around him. In other words, he's God. And the reason we think that way is because we think the world revolves around us. You're out to please me. You're out to do what I want. And Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, until seven times seven, or 70 times, not until seven times, but 70 times seven." Now, verse number 23 gives us this parable. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. I don't know how much money that was, but that's a lot of money. I'll just put it that, okay? Some folks come up with a formula and everything else. That was comparable to at least a whole year's wages. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had to payment." Now, they didn't in those days have debt forgiveness like we do today, right? They couldn't file bankruptcy. And his servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. And by the way, I don't see anybody, I've not known anyone in this earth that could have that mercy and that forgiveness that the Master did, that God Himself did. "And that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Now, that's not much money. That's just a couple of bucks we could equal it to today. "And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay a debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord of all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant.'" Y'all wonder how many times God says that to us. "Look what I've forgiven you of. And you're going to hold that against them? I've forgiven you of every sin you've ever committed, and yet one person wronged you in one area? Oh, I can't forget that. I can't get over that. I can't forgive him." And God looks down and says, "Oh, thou wicked servant." Wow, that's convicting. And By the way, he's speaking to Peter, the leader of his disciples. He's gearing this directly answering the question that Peter had asked. How often do I have to forgive? Hey, I've given enough. I've sacrificed. I've given so much to him. And he's just walking over me. He's taking advantage of me. And by the way, we've done the same thing to Jesus. Only a million times more that we've done to Jesus. And the Lord said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Would we have to pay Jesus to forgive our debt? We just come to Him. He paid the price. We just accept the free gift. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And notice these last two verses. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Wow. Those are some hard-hitting truths there. I've watched people's life unravel because of unforgiveness. And they could never see the cause of their bitterness or the fact that they even are dealing, have bitterness. I've watched their health, their mental facilities, their emotions go haywire because God has delivered them to the tormentors. I'm not saying every time somebody gets sick it's because of unforgiveness, or every time someone has emotional disturbances or problems is because of sin, but I've watched many times and very obvious because I failed to forgive. And I've seen it in my own life. If I fail to forgive one that's why we need to stay close to the cross where we find mercy and forgiveness. Because when we experience that mercy and forgiveness, it makes it easier to give others mercy and forgiveness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And those that refuse to forgive, as Jesus talked about here, so likewise, my heavenly Father, they're going to turn them over to the tormentors so they should pay all that was due unto Him. Thank God that God never requires us to pay Him what we owe. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. That's God's mercy. He bled. He died. The God of heaven left His throne in heaven to come into this world to be subject to man that He created and to be a servant of men. Not only to give us a pattern, but because of His love and His mercy towards us. His compassions towards us. And He freely gave His life. No one could take His life, but He gave His life that I might have life. Because of His mercy. Thank God that He doesn't keep a record book. Hey, look at that sin. Up, check, 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 check. Up, that's enough. You reach your limit. Zap, time's over. God doesn't work that way. God is a merciful God. Now, God chastens His children, but He doesn't judge His children. There's a world of difference there. God corrects His children. If you're His child, He will correct you. But just as a parent doesn't keep a track record, a scorebook of their children, you know, sometimes our kids get together and they start talking about things that we didn't know they did that. I remember my wife and her sisters were together one time years ago and they were talking about things and their mom was so disgusted. I didn't know you come over here right now. I'm going to give you a spanking right now. But sometimes we keep track of all those things. You did this, you did that. I got this log book here of all the things that you did done. We don't treat as a father pitieth his children, so the Father pities us. Thank God for His mercy. And He didn't give us what He didn't keep score. Now I got to even the count here. We owed a debt we could not pay, and He paid a debt that He did not owe. That's God's mercy. That we're not consumed because of His mercy. As I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. Now the other side of this coin has a word, though it complements the word mercy, it is the opposite. And a lot of times we use the wrong word for the wrong truth, and we think that they're the same thing. And that would be just as bad as saying that baptism saves you, because in the book of Acts, when they were saved, they were immediately went out and were baptized. Baptism doesn't save them, but it was something that corresponded with their salvation. We'll give you that word tonight. But this morning, I just want you to think God's mercies towards us. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Every morning as I like to watch the sun come up and talk to the Lord, and think, God, You're so faithful. God's still good. God's given me so much more than I deserve. Thank God You didn't give me what I do deserve. That's all of Your mercy. You know His mercy today? Have you experienced His mercy and salvation? Are you walking in His mercy today? Learning to forgive others and moving beyond the pettiness of our self-righteousness and our pride. I'm going to ask you to stand.